practical web accessibility tips. Welcome to Web Acts, podcast number 39, Business Reasons for Web Accessibility. This is your host, Dennis.
And I'm Ross.
Good to have you again, Ross.
Thanks, glad to be back.
So what's
new?
What's new? Let's see. Yeah, a couple announcements to start off with. First of all, there's a new website design for this podcast and blog, Web Acts. So, if you haven't seen it yet, please go out there and check it out. Maybe leave some feedback. Tell me what you think. Thanks to Ross for coming up with the, he came up with the mock-up design, and then I did the coding on it and everything. So I think it came out pretty well.
Yeah, I think it turned out real well, and our last episode kind of talked about how fluid design's the best way to go, and we had a fixed design site, so nice that we're no longer being hypocritical.
Yeah, I think it's the code is definitely up to par, so.
Yeah, I looked through it. It looks really, really clean and very accessible, so good work.
Thanks. And if anybody has any suggestions or comments, leave us a comment on the blog, and we're open to, your different viewpoints or expertise. So, just this past, Wednesday, we had our Refresh Detroit meeting at Ross's office in Ann Arbor, and that went pretty well.
Yep, Dennis did a presentation on accessibility and saw lots of people taking notes, and I learned quite a bit, so it was really good.
Yeah, and there was snow that evening, so we didn't get quite as many people as I was hoping, but I think we're going to have a big turnout next month, so that would be good. But yeah. I will, I'll post a link on WebActs to the files for the presentation if you want to check it out. Due to technical difficulties, I was unable to get the audio file, so it will not be posted, unfortunately. But just a warning for you guys, anybody that has iRiver or the iRiver IFP895, that's what I was using to record, and I guess it ran out of disk space for my recording, and it started recording the file all over again from the beginning and, like, wiped out everything previous to it, so it basically wiped out the whole presentation.
Yeah, I think all that was left was the questions, so.
Yeah, some of the comments at the end as well, all that was left, it like started over and erased everything, the whole presentation. So if you have an iRiver out there, be careful with that.
Yeah, kind of a bummer, but
yeah,
the presentation's online. You can get the gist of it there.
Yeah, and it's in the HTML and PDF format. So.
And it's accessible.
Of course. All right, so let's move on to some news items. It looks like you dug up a couple good ones, Ross.
Yeah, I found a couple. There's an article on accessibilityblog.com where they interview someone who kind of has a vision impairment and talk about their preferences and mention big.com, which is a search engine where everything shows up, you know, real nice, big, huge text that makes it easy to read. So if you have vision problems yourself or you know someone who does, you might want to refer them to that because it seems like it works pretty well. And another interesting point they had was that this user actually preferred dark background with light text, kind of due to the contrast and how they view things. So I think that just goes to show that you really want to take a look at your target audience and see what best suits them, because I think a lot of people talk about light text or dark text on light background.
Right. That sounds good. I'll have to check that out. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's a nice read. And then at 456 Berea Street, there's 7 accessibility mistakes you don't want to miss or you don't want to make, which is they talk about make sure you test your CMS, make sure you coach clients on how to keep things accessible if they're going to be editing themselves, and kind of don't try and solve accessibility problems that you don't have any experience in, that sort of thing. So that's worth checking out, too.
Sounds like some good ideas.
Yep. And for some shameless self-promotion, I wrote a couple articles on the mobile web, and how to prepare for it, how to test for it, and how to create a mobile-specific page. So you might want to check those out because I like them, but I am biased.
Cool, man. I didn't know you did that. I'll have to check that out. Maybe you could also put some links to that from the Refresh Detroit site, too.
Yeah, I'll do that. So check WebEx or check Refresh Detroit and read it and tell me that I'm completely wrong or tell me that I'm a genius. Either one's fine.
Hopefully it'll be closer to genius. But
I'm not keeping my hopes up.
Oh, I have a feeling it'll be just fine.
I hope so. Thank you.
All right, so I think we're ready to move on to our main topic, business reasons for web accessibility.
Yep, well, I think this is an interesting topic, and Dennis came up with this because I think in general it seems like a lot of people think accessibility is kind of like a moral thing, and, you know, it's what you're supposed to do, it's what you should do, it's the right thing to do, but they don't really talk about, well, it has a business benefit as well.
Right. Or, I mean, I've heard the argument, too, like, besides the ethical thing, it's, you know, well, only a federal government needs to have an accessible website, you know, for disabled people. You know,
yeah.
Period. Or full stop.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, not true.
Yeah, I mean, everybody should be accessible, and that's a good point, because I think a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm not a government site, especially in America, we're pretty much the only kind of regulations, the 508, you know, people think, well, yeah. 508 doesn't apply to me, so who cares?
Yeah, and hopefully we'll be seeing some more localized law on that, but let's get into, the first reason, business reason for web accessibility and why your website should be accessible. I mean, really, the one biggest reason that I see is it increases the, you know, the potential use, but, you know, by more people and expands your market share, potential market share.
Yeah, I mean, why turn, you know, potential customers to potential clients away at the door? That, you know, that's huge. Don't make that mistake.
Right, like, I mean, if you have a retail store and somebody's in a wheelchair or a blind person comes, you know, you don't want to say, oh, you can't come in. You can't come in and buy anything or look at my stuff. So it's, I mean, same thing on the website, you know, you don't want to shut out. Even if you don't, I mean, if you don't think you have a lot of users, I mean, it translates over time, you know, to a lot of people. So, I mean, if you got 10,000 people that visit your site in a year, say, I mean, what, 10% of that is 1,000 people that you might be closing the door on, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of purchasing and buying power. And even if you think your site doesn't necessarily have any accessible or disabled people viewing it, that's not always the case. On Dennis's presentation, I kind of asked a question, trying to find a situation, well, maybe do you not hit the care in some situations? And I said, well, what if you sell automobiles on the site? Why do you need to be accessible? Because a disabled person is not going to be driving, you know, a car in most cases, you know, if they have sight or motor impairments. And you had a pretty good point. What was it?
Oh, like, well, if, you know, if somebody's parent or grandparent wants to buy them a car, you know, like if my grandfather wanted to buy me a car or whatever, then
yeah,
I'd say my grandfather's pretty old, you know, he has some money, but he's, you know, he's getting up there in years, so he has pretty low vision he has a heavy motor impairment, you know, then he's not going to be able to access the website to buy me a car or whatever, you know, whatever else that he would maybe want to buy for someone, you know, for an enabled person.
Yeah, so exactly. So, I mean, there's plenty of situations where a disabled person is likely to visit your site, even if you don't think so.
Yeah, you never know. It looks like you got some good stats in here, though, just to back up what we're saying. It says 2 million users in the UK have site problems that prevent them from using a website.
Yep.
8.5 million people in the UK have a disability.
Yeah, so that's a lot of people. And that's just in the UK.
Right. And, let's see, even less obvious disabilities or even preferences, some people are keyboard browsers by habit. 1.7 million users in the UK are unable to read default fonts the default choice of font and size and are unable to resize the text.
Yeah, so people who are browsing on Internet Explorer and you got these designers setting 8-point font in pixels.
Yeah.
And, of course, IE, in the wonderful browser it is, doesn't let you resize pixel-sized fonts. So, yeah, and then there's beyond just people who are who have disabilities, there's situations where even someone who isn't disabled wouldn't be able to use your site if it's not accessible, such as, you know, if they have limited bandwidth and they're downloading huge table-based sites, which is something to be concerned about with the mobile web, because a lot of people's data plans, you're paying for every byte that you download. So they're not going to go to your site if they have to pay $5 just to download it.
Good point. Or if they're in using different platforms or different user agents or browsers, you know, you want to make sure, of course, those people can all access your content so they could buy your product or service.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you have audio, that's important. Maybe you have product information or something, you know. If the person's like in a real noisy, like in a coffee house, or if maybe they're in a library, you know, and they can't be noisy and they don't have headphones or whatever, you know, then it's always good to have some caption text in there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, even if you're at work, you know, a lot of people can't just have music or noise or talk blaring, so captions are really important.
Okay. Well, yeah, another reason that you got in here is the word of mouth issue, and I guess that kind of has to do with a positive image, but oh, I see what you're saying. Possibility that a disabled person can recommend that website or talk to other people, if they're disabled or not, about how good your website is.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of what I was thinking with that is, like, let's say you have an e-commerce store and you sell some products. If a disabled person uses that, they say, hey, this is great, I can use it, you know, it's much better than Amazon, they're likely to recommend it to, you know, other people who kind of share the same issues as them.
Yeah. And you'd think there would be a big gap there for, you know, if there was a site like Target or Amazon or something that was actually, you know, friendly, accessible, you know, I would think it would do real well. But
yeah, and that's something for, you know, website owners to think about, is you have a huge potential if you're catering directly to, you know, people who need accessible websites, then you could capture a huge market share right there.
Yeah. So basically what we're getting to is the second main point. Besides increasing the number of users for your business website and then your, you know, market share or what have you, you're increasing the positive image of your company by doing what's right, doing what's ethical, and making your website accessible. And that's, you know, that's a valuable thing to a business, and that's what, you know, businesses throw money at that every year, you know, either giving to foundations and, you know, working with the community and stuff. So why shouldn't they have an accessible website?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's something to brag about. I mean, if you've got companies that are saying, hey, we took the extra time and effort to make sure our site is accessible, I think that goes just as far as saying, hey, we donated X amount of dollars to a charity.
Right.
And at least doing something like that would hopefully promote more people developing accessible sites so that they could brag about it.
Okay, so and if you make an accessible website, hopefully you're using web standards. You know, you're using some good XHTML and CSS. That's the best way to make an accessible website, of course. And doing that brings us to the next big point is what Ross called here the price point. And accessible web standards coding is less time consuming and costly when you're updating and redesigning your site.
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy to just go through and make mass changes just adding the CSS, and if you're in tables, and I guess single A compliance, that you can still use tables, but yeah, I mean, that takes much longer.
Yeah, if you
want
to make a global change or whatever, you just go to the CSS file and do it.
Yeah.
In most cases. And then even, you know, and if you're doing a complete redesign, I mean, if you've really got the content separated from your style, then it really shouldn't be difficult at all.
Yeah, I mean, very minor changes.
That style sheet.
Yeah. And this is another thing we talked about at Refresh Detroit, just when you're using standards and kind of accessible coding, significantly less bandwidth is used. And this is more important for larger sites. I think ESPN was the site that was discussed.
Yeah.
I guess they redid their site from tables to CSS, and, like, the price difference was just, like, astronomical. And granted, they get, you know, millions of hits, but if you're in a situation where you're paying extra for bandwidth, you want to be doing accessible web standard coding.
Yeah, because using web standards and making your site accessible, it really makes the site a lot lighter.
Yeah.
And the code is a lot less complicated. I mean, we already mentioned easier to update, but it's a lot lighter. Those files are a lot smaller, so people downloading your pages are going to take a lot less bandwidth, which is going to cost less money.
Yep. And also in hosting costs, too. I mean, you figure...
Right, for disk space and for bandwidth.
Yeah, disk space, yeah. So... And, yeah, lawsuits are expensive, too, so you don't want to get sued. That costs money.
Yeah, the legal aspect is definitely there, and that's becoming more, you know, prevalent. So beware of that. If it's closely related to the elderly or disabled, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it could be just any kind of general... retail store or whatever, you may be subject to legal ramifications, so be careful.
Yeah, something to keep in mind, not only in just the actual cost, but just the bad press, you know, that kind of has a monetary value as well.
And I'm sure that goes more for, you know, for other countries, and, you know, of course, there's 508 in the States here, but until there's more law here, I think. Although there are far more lawsuits going on in the web in the United States, I'm sure, than the rest of the world, but...
Yeah, we're a pretty lawsuit-happy country,
yeah,
it seems like, so...
It's kind of sad, but...
Yeah, you want to try and prevent that as much as possible, yeah. And especially as, you know, Target goes, you know, I think it'll be more prevalent that people are saying, hey, you should be responsible for this.
Right.
So... protect yourself.
And we mentioned a few minutes ago how it's, you know, using web standards, it's easier to update or redesign your website. So, I mean, just go over that one more time to clarify what that means is time, really, you know? So you're saving all that money by reducing the amount of resources and time it takes to maintain and redesign your website. So, and that's really important. So I guess that's probably number two, I guess I would say, in, you know, after increasing your market share.
Yeah, and I think that goes for both website owners and designers and developers, because as a website owner, the longer it takes for them to make, you know, your web design company or your employees to make updates, you know, that costs you more money. And from developer standpoints, I mean, I don't think there's many people out there who get into design development so that they can do maintenance.
Right.
They'd rather be doing more fun projects, so.
Definitely. And then everyone's a winner.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I think that wraps it up for podcast number 39 on Web Acts, Business Reasons for Web Accessibility. If you have any comments, of course, you're welcome to go to the blog and enter them there.
Yeah, and we encourage that. We hope they get some feedback.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
The WebAxe blog and podcast is located at webaxe.blogspot.com, webaxe.blogspot.com. email webax@gmail.com. webaxe@gmail.com. To leave a voice message, call 206-203-0585. WebAx is sponsored by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. www.checkengineusa.com.